For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're hitting the road and watching the Oscars, or maybe not. I don't know. Well, let's watch the movies. Let's talk about some things. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Apathetic Enthusiasm, the podcast where we do lots of work and it never pays off.
Hello,
everybody. I'm Travis.
Hello. I'm your overworked friend, Brandon. That is Travis, as he mentioned. And we welcome you to another magical show. We're moving on from the word wonderful, and we're moving on straight to the word magical, because that's what this is. That's what this episode is magical.
It's magic.
And Webster's defines magical as this podcast. Speaking of, please don't fact check us because they'll have changed it by the time you go to look it up. Whoever you are,
election season. Fact checking is not something we're going to be doing. This is a purely political podcast. We've completely shifted gears yet again. Mm-hmm. We're only going to talk about the issues, policies, and the race for 2024 Miss America.
Make sure you tune in November for Brandon's Night of the Living election and my four-year live stream.
We're getting out ahead of it this year. We're making sure that everybody knows that it's happening many months from now. But if you forget, you can always follow us all across the social internet. You can find us on X, over at Apathusiast. I am at Jugglemino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. We're on Facebook. We have an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. Website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. And then you can find video versions of our podcast, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Support the show. Get bonus content. Get our post shows where we talk about even more riveting things than we talk about in this podcast. You can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm to support the show over there. Big thanks to everybody that supports this podcast over at Patreon. Brandon, I want to start with how the heck are you, buddy?
I'm glad you're jumping straight into the hard-hitting questions. I'm doing pretty good, Travis. Thank you for asking. Today felt real genuine.
I'm glad you're doing all right.
Today is a good day. And let me explain to you why today is a good day. Because it's another day where I get to interact with you and my family
and my friends
and podcast.
Yeah. Podcast day is always a good day.
That's right.
Typically.
I want to flip it around on you, Travis. I don't usually do this, right? I don't usually put you on the spot.
You usually don't. You're not this considerate.
But how the hell are you doing?
Never been worse.
You got your Tiki Room shirt on.
The Tiki Room, that's right. This is, I think it's a Flying House Threads t-shirt. This Tiki Room t-shirt, I actually purchased sitting next to you when we were at San Diego Comic-Con last year in 2023, and this is awkward. Sometimes Brandon freezes because of bad internet connection. That one lasted a really long time. I got worried that I was playing it off. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna keep rolling. He's got a big cheesy smile on his face. Like maybe the video won't even notice. But you were gone for a hot second there. Anyway, this Tiki Room shirt.
It felt more than like a hot second. It felt like
an eternity.
And it was so long. And it makes me, because we're not even like 5 minutes into the show so far, and I feel like, you know what? Maybe I'll restart my router and my internet. I'm not going to, because I want more of this and thrilling content.
We're living on the edge this episode. Anyway, this Tiki Room shirt I bought on the San Diego trolley going 40 stops from East County to San Diego Comic-Con. I ordered it on a drop. It was coming out that Friday. I love this shirt. It's great. The original animatronics, the birds of Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki.
Really, the original animatronics. There were never any other animatronics before.
I mean, those were the first like audio animatronic characters that Walt really like worked on with his Imagineering team at WED Industries.
Who came up with the idea of the Tiki Room?
So there's a couple of like iterations that started. One,
okay,
Club 33,
okay,
which is the exclusive tiki room. It's not the Tiki Room. Club 33 is the exclusive members only club and restaurant inside Disneyland. There are now iterations of that in all of the Disney theme parks. Okay.
This is where they ate parrots, right? Like
they ate live parrots that would talk to you and sing and joke while you're eating them. They're like, oh, I taste like chicken.
These hurt me. Please don't eat my wing.
Oh, try the balsamic. Anyway, so Walt wanted a like stuffed bird or something in that restaurant that would talk with guests. I think he had a thing rigged up where in the chandelier there was a microphone, and you could like, and there was like a stuffed bird, and you could leave like I think he would leave the room, and then he could hear what the guests were saying over the microphone, and then he would talk back through like the stuffed bird.
Oh.
They're like, oh, this is a really good idea if you had like a bird that would be talking and interacting with guests. So in the entryway to Adventureland, they created an animatronic bird that would sit up there and it would talk to guests and sort of like entertain them as they walked into Adventureland. It was so good that they thought, hey, let's make a ton of these, put them in a room, make it a whole show. It became the Enchanted Tiki Room.
But let me ask you a question, Travis, and this is important. When it was the entry way to Adventureland, was it somebody doing live thing, or was it pre-recorded stuff?
No, I think it was all like pre-recorded audio animatronics.
Okay.
The problem with it is, this is very niche conversation, but the entryway to Adventureland is you walk like across like a little bridge, and it's like narrow, and then you go into Adventureland, and there's an archway over the top that says Adventureland, and on the top of that would be this parrot, right? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, people were so entertained by it and interested in it that they would stop and they would listen to the parrot as it's talking and doing all these things, and it caused serious congestion where people were just stopping in the walkway. And it kept people, like, the crowds from flowing and moving in and out of the land. So they're like, all right, this is a problem. We have to move it. Let's move it inside, make a bunch more, make a whole show. And that's why.
Okay. All right. So it caused traffic delays, which to this day on the 405.
Yeah. Yeah.
To this day, the effects are still felt from that initial Adventureland.
What's really either sad or impressive, depending on who you talk to, is I didn't look up any of that while you're asking me. All of that is stuff I pulled from some wrinkly bit in the back of my brain. And I assume 90% of that is accurate. There's probably stuff I got wrong. But as we said earlier, we're not fact checking in this podcast. So
And you know what? Because I know you're this podcast's resident Disney expert.
Cheers.
I trust you inherently, and explicitly. Yeah. Right on. So if you want more Disney facts like that, tune into Travis's solo podcast, Faxnees.
Faxnees. Yeah, available nowhere. Podcasts are sold.
The Distory podcast, you know, like the Disney history. It's a portmanteau of Disney and history.
Avid listeners will remember earlier last year when we talked about creating a completely different podcast that was going to be based on animation history.
I remember that.
I still have the sketches for the logos for that podcast.
It's still on our Trello board.
We went back to Rick and Morty. What can I say? We changed our minds. We changed our minds. Anyway, it's been a whirlwind week, Brandon. We're recording this a day later because I went on an adventure. I went on a quest to help my mom.
Adventureland.
Adventureland. This is the Adventureland podcast. That's the episode.
We found our episode title.
Adventures with Parrots. But yeah, my mom is great. She has big goals, big dreams. And one of those dreams was to own an A-class recreational vehicle. She would spend her evenings kick back with the RV trader, thumbing through the different listings. I don't know. I think it's online. I think she's scrolling at this point. It is 2024 after all. But she found a really great deal, subjectively, on a very lightly used RV. And she pulled the trigger. Things lined up the way that she wanted to, and she bought it. It's something she's always wanted. It's the thing that she's excited to be able to take around the country, vacation with her family, things like that, my kids, all of her grandkids, things like that. So she bought it. She lives in New Mexico, and this RV is in Cincinnati, Ohio. Which is like kind of far away.
Okay, I'm tracking. Yeah.
So her request to me, her favorite son, her only son, was to fly out to Cincinnati with her, meet her there, assist her in picking up and learning about all of the inner workings of this RV, and then travel with her on the first few days as she ventured to transport this gigantic bus of a vehicle back to New Mexico. I live in Oklahoma currently. It's on the way. So fly out there, drive for a few days. She drops me off at home. She continues on the rest of the way. And so that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing the last few days. I left on Thursday. I flew out there. Not first class. This is not a first class adventure story.
It's the opposite because you're driving an RV.
I flew Southwest. I did set an alarm on my phone, so I was able to get that A boarding group, A36. I was pretty proud of that.
Oh man.
I was third row aisle with nobody in the middle seat.
Talk about
luxury.
Although I feel like you are a special class of citizen where you could board early if you wanted to.
Not earlier than A36, Brandon. Clearly, they board after the A group, along with, you know, all the other riffraff. But yeah,
special class of citizen.
Occasionally, I can get that early boarding. So I flew out there. Real easy flight. I watched two more episodes of The Last Airbender on Netflix. See episode 240, I think, or maybe 239 for a very abbreviated review of that show. It's growing on me. I still like it. I think I like it more. I'm not super attached to the original material. Like, I thought it was good, but I don't hate The Last Airbender. I'm just gonna say I don't hate it.
Well, I'm glad you gave us that follow up, Travis, because I was concerned that you were gonna hate it.
Yeah, I know you were. But yeah, flew out to Cincinnati, just the gem of the Midwest. And then I don't know. I'm not going to tell everything that happened. I watched State of the Union and argued with my mom about her political differences for a while. That was real fun. And then I made a conscious effort to not talk about politics for the rest of the trip. But yeah, we got the RV. Uh-huh. It ran great. She learned how to drive it like for the first day in the rain, which wasn't stressful at all. Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. I mean, it was like camping. I was finding places for us to stop, places to stay. We got to see some of this great American countryside. Wow. And yeah, I slept in a bunk above the driver's seat.
Did you start your great American novel? You know, going cross half country.
You know what's funny, Brandon? It's funny that you jest, but I'm sitting in the airport in Chicago, and
it's Illinois.
That's Illinois.
Cincinnati is in Ohio. I just wanted everyone to know that.
Yeah, but I was thumbing through my phone. Are you aware of this journaling app?
Yes.
Do you use it?
I don't use it, but I've used it a couple times. It gives me some prompts, and it says, do you want to journal about these pictures you took in DC? And I say, I don't have to answer you audibly because I can just not acknowledge you. But in my head, I'm thinking,
I want to be clear, Brandon. None of the notifications you get on your phone require you to answer them audibly.
Really?
You don't have to speak back to any of your phone.
So my crypto.com notifications, when they say Bitcoin is at 73,000, I don't have to say no, thank you.
You don't have to speak crypto.com. No.
And all my fellow coworkers are like, Brandon, stop talking to crypto.com.
But he's interested in what I have to say.
You don't have to buy Doge anymore.
To the moon. Hashtag to the moon. Anyway, I found the journaling app. I was like, this is interesting. Maybe I'll try journaling for 3 days. And I've made about 3 posts in it. I've gotten to a point where I don't put a lot of things. Like, I used to put everything on social media. Oh, eating a pizza. Post it to Twitter, right? You know, like I used to take pictures of my food, post it online all the time. I was that guy. Oversharing.
To be clear, Travis, you still take pictures of your food. You just don't post it to everybody else.
Yeah, now I can put them in the journaling app and just save it for myself.
We'll talk about it. So real quick, we're talking about iOS.
Sure.
The journaling app is only on the iPhone right now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not on the iPad because I was, Chelsea and I have talked about journaling and, I was like, oh, there's this app. There's Apple app for journaling and it'll send you reminders. And she's on her iPad all the time. And so she's like, I can't find it. I can't find it anywhere. And that's when I'm like, oh, I guess it's just on the phone. Before this app, I was doing a journaling thing. It was like kind of a military transition thing. The VA was testing it out, and it was a chance to be like, "Hey, how are you feeling today? Put some thoughts down there." And I really like that. Because sometimes, a lot of times, we have these thoughts and these feelings in our head, and or like experiences that we want to save that. Once the moment's gone, it's gone. It's like it's an ether. Yeah. Nothing is real until you make it physical or you write it down. It's like an idea is not an idea until it's written down, right? So there it is. I like the app, and I would like to, every time I see that prompt, I say, man, I really should write something down just real quick. Yeah. But I just need to, it's a habit thing. Journaling, like anything else, is habit.
Yeah, which reminds me, I haven't played Connections today, and I've played Connections every day so far this year. So I need to make sure I play Connections. Maybe we'll play Connections during the post show. Remind me. We're going to play Connections during the post show. Go to patreon.com to watch me play Connections. I journaled a little bit of the trip, the good and the bad, and just like how I was feeling day to day. It's nice to get that stuff out there. It's nice to just write something down and have some sort of record that if I ever want to go back, I can reread that stuff, see how I was feeling at the time, and not have to put that on like a social media platform or a blog or anywhere that's just like posted out on the internet for people to stumble upon and check out later. So
yeah,
So yeah, I started doing that. Who knows how long I'll keep doing it. Will it last longer than me tracking my hydration with Water Llama? It's hard to be much shorter.
I was talking to, so I went up to DC, right? Last week. And
that's the District of Columbia.
It's a Washington, DC. Which, by the way, have you ever looked up why there's a Washington, DC, and then there's a Washington state? I have, but I forgot what the reason was.
Yeah, it's because our nation's first president of the United States was named George Washington.
No. There's a different reason why there's a DC.
Then George Washington and Carver.
Washington state.
No.
It's all about clothing and launderers. It's fascinating. Don't fact check me. Fact check free podcast.
The no fact check episode.
We were up there for a military promotion ceremony, and I saw a fellow gentleman.
Military promotions. That sounds boring.
Yeah, it does. It does. Whoever. By the way, I left the military because I couldn't stand any military person. They all suck. They all suck.
They're the worst.
Ugh, awful. Nice mustache, by the way, Travis. I don't know why you trim it the way you do.
The worst. mustache. What are you talking about? Audio listeners, no fact check.
anyway, so it's this guy. He was a chief master sergeant, and he retired just a couple months before me, and very musically inclined, and. We were just talking about like when we were younger, we shared music, like we wrote songs, we made music, and we just like threw it out there. We're like, hey, right? Nobody wanted to listen to it. We just threw it out like no shame, right? So real quick, I made a CD a long time ago of just like my own like dormitory recordings, and I had some good stuff on there. But the recordings themselves were bad. And I also had some really bad things on there. And I handed the CD out to people. And I think about that now. I'm like, God, that sucked. Why did you do that, Brandon? That's stupid. Stupid, 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 and cringy. Anyway, now we're older. And I'm like, I don't want to show that stuff to the world at all. I don't want that. Social media, journaling, a lot of stuff is like that. So Live Journal was a thing when we were growing up in the mid-2000s. I think like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those are all kind of forms of journaling. But those are like journaling for exhibitionism. Like we want the interaction. Blogs, we want interaction. In some ways, like this is that. But we're not... Like writing stuff out there and putting it out there for people to see, like I'm eating a croissant in Paris. Like, I think
there's an aspect where a lot of people, the social media boom, right? And it starts even back with like MySpace and stuff like that, right? I think that MySpace transition from MySpace into Facebook, paired with all of the blogging, microblogging. Twitter stuff that was all kind of happening at the same time. There was this explosion of opportunities to express yourself, express what you were feeling, what you were doing in a way that you could share with people. And I can't speak for everyone, but I think a lot of people, that was an appeal to it, right? Like, okay, if I'm going to write something down, why would I write in a journal where like nobody's going to read it? If I write this down, 140 characters on Twitter, at least my 6 followers will know like what kind of bagel I ate today or something, right? Like that's, and whatever your entry point is into social media, whether that's through photos, videos, YouTube, Vine, TikTok, Instagram, all these things, right? Like whatever your medium is, it was a way to express yourself. People could see it, right? But there's a corner that you turn eventually where you're like, all right, I'm not going to be a social media influencer. I'm not going to be some huge account that has millions of followers or even thousands of followers. I have a handful of friends that are maybe not even that interested in the crap I post on here, but I enjoy the exercise. I enjoy the exercise of capturing what I'm thinking about, capturing photos, right? And so you need an outlet. You need something to, some way to get it out of your head. Or and I think journaling is a way to kind of go from, I was writing this, you know, in a Facebook post that got 7 likes to, you know what, let me just write this down in a journaling app, or let me write this down somewhere else. I can attach photos, I can attach locations, I can attach all that stuff. And then I can go back and look at it. I cannot, but it's there. There's a record of, you know, stuff that I was doing, that I was interested, how I was feeling, all those things. You kind of age out of a lot of social media stuff, at which point you start podcasting.
And where do you kind of set it? But, you know, I'm not naive to the fact that we're essentially audio blogging.
And 100%, you know, 100%.
We're auto journaling, and we've talked about it on the show before. Like, this is our outlet to talk about things. We turned Apathetic Enthusiasm was random stuff and dogs barking in the background. Like, there's a lot of different things that the show was, and now it's just a chance for us to talk. I figured out what it is we do on this show, Travis. For years. And that, like, no exaggeration, for years I've been like, how do we market or decide what this show is, right? Because we talk about tech and movies and just basically everything, like general pop culture is what I end up saying, right? But that can still mean a whole bunch of things. So my work friend Jeff, my BWF Jeff, best work friend, he mentioned today in a meeting.
Don't fact check that he's the best work friend.
In a meeting with our boss today, talking about the podcast, he's like, you know, it's the slice of life. I'm like, duh. Yeah, it's slice of life.
Conversational. It's with a conversational with slice of life.
With a pop culture bent, as they say. That's really what this is. It's just a slice of our life that no one is interested in but us. But this gives us a chance to talk. And that's great. That's fucking great.
It is a scheduled appointment for me and Brandon to talk to each other. We just happen to record it and release it on the internet. Just like your Instagram post.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, traveling down the road, RV's going great. Gets to be Sunday night. We stop in a little RV park in... just outside of Joplin, Missouri. And it's Sunday night and the Academy Awards are on.
I have a question real fast, Travis. Sorry.
The gentleman in the back with the glasses.
Sorry to interrupt, but do you think Joplin, Missouri is named after Janis Joplin?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the city was founded by Janis Joplin while on a tour across the United States, really enjoyed the lakes and decided to spend about 6 months just playing acoustic shows in the area.
And thank you for confirming that story for me, because I also heard that the Capitol, it was started with a little piece of her heart.
That's right. Don't fact check.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we stop there.
Oscars.
Academy Awards are on. It's the biggest night in the movies, right? I watched them. You didn't. Avid fans of this podcast will know that I like to watch as many Best Picture nominees as I can. I failed miserably this year. Got less than half. Saw many of the films. Won big. Oppenheimer, of course, winning big at this year's Academy Awards. Barbie, despite being a fan favorite film out of last year and in the conversation, for most award shows this year, really, really didn't get a lot. One for Best Original Song with
Kenner
What Was
or
I Made For, Billie Eilish and Phineas working on that song. But yeah, I don't know, some memorable moments. I did really like, and I don't know if you watched any clips or saw any coverage of the Academy Awards at all, but they did something different with the four main actor actress categories. So you usually have your supporting actor and actress categories towards the beginning of the show. Then towards the end of the show, you have starring role actor and actress categories. And a lot of times they will have presenters come up. They will say some clever banter, talk about the category. Then they'll like play clips of the performances from the movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
As they name off the names and then open the envelope, the Oscar goes to whoever. This year, each one of those categories, they brought back five previous winners of that category. So five actresses that have won the supporting actress Oscar. And they all came out on stage, and then each one spoke about one of the nominees, talking about their performance, talking about the actor, talking about their craft, things like that. And it was, I mean, call me sentimental. It was much more
sentimental.
Like, thank you. Appreciate it. It just felt a lot more like grounded and connected and like personal. Like some of these actresses and actors are friends, like on and off set. Like some of them didn't have a personal relationship with the person, but still spoke to how they did and things like that. So you didn't get those little clips, but you just got these like really nice little, you know, mini speeches about the different nominees.
Little slices, yeah, of entertainment life.
Yeah, slice of life. Slice of entertainment life. So I thought that was really cool. Also, John Cena presented an award naked.
Yeah, you know, it's his humiliation ritual, as Cat Williams would claim.
I don't understand that reference.
You don't get that reference? Oh man. Well, if you were on X and following all the conspiracy theory, like that, real quick aside,
part of the reason I'm not on X. Brandon, just so we're clear.
Dude, man, like we talk about social media and how it's turned over the years. X is like such a cesspool. It's
you'll never find a more wretched hive.
So Cat
Except
Williams
Truth Social.
Cat Williams went on maybe Joe Rogan, right?
You're talking about when he was on the podcast with Shannon Sharp.
Okay. Yeah.
Former NFL player.
And he's talking about how like Hollywood, like it's all like it's conspiracy. There's a humiliation ritual, which is like people have to humiliate themselves. Otherwise, they're not going to be big. They're not going to be famous. And so, if you go on Twitter, which
no one's heard of John Cena,
right?
Never seen him.
So when you go on Twitter, like people are like, this is it. See, look, there's a humiliation ritual. John Cena naked on the stage. They're doing it. They're doing it in clear sight of us. He'll never. That's why Rock never got big.
His athletic, perfectly chiseled body is so humiliating.
So humiliating.
Yeah, that was weird. I thought it was clever that they spoke to the importance of costumes for the best costume category by him coming out sans costume. I don't know.
It's a little edgy. I see what they're doing. Right? That's cute.
Yeah.
Other
moments.
Pacino didn't say any of the names of the best Oscar winners, but then he comes out later and he says the producers told me not to say the names of the movies because they already highlighted them throughout the show.
Yeah, he just came out. He opened the envelope and he's like, "I see Oppenheimer." Not and the Oscar goes to. He just opens envelope. I see Oppenheimer. That was the delivery. That's how he did it.
I love it. I love it.
And it's so funny because obviously I'm on this vacation. I'm traveling across the country, but I'm texting with Sheena, who is watching the Oscars at home. And she's like, the last 5 minutes of this award show is such a roller coaster of emotions. Because you go from, Emma Stone, right? Uh-huh. Who wins the Oscar for Best Actress for Poor Things. It's super emotional. The second they say her name, you just like see the shock on her face.
Yeah.
Completely unexpected.
She thought Lily Gladstone was going to take it.
She comes up on stage. Her dress is like ripped in the back because she was rocking out to the amazing I'm Just Ken musical performance that happened, you know, moments earlier. And she's up there. She's emotional. She's crying. It's heartfelt. And then she leaves the stage and transitioned to host of the show, Jimmy Kimmel, reading an actual review of his hosting performance by Donald Trump that he posted to Truth Social. So he does this comedic bit about that post right after that emotional moment. And then you go right to Best Picture, Al Pacino coming out. I see Oppenheimer. End of show. Like, it's just like highs and lows, and just it's the type of experience that only Hollywood can give you.
That's so great. That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a good show. It was well done. It started an hour earlier, so like they played an episode of Abbott Elementary afterwards. It wasn't like a cut straight to local news or something. Like it was. It was on. Anyway, it was weird. But
I want to talk about. I didn't watch a majority of those films, but I did start watching Poor Things last night with Chelsea.
Now streaming on Hulu.
Hulu, I think. Yeah. So we're like, yeah, let's go watch it. You know, there's a cover art. Oh, it's rated R. Okay, all right. So Baxter, which I now call him on this podcast.
Yeah.
Baxter is on the couch and he's watching his iPad with his noise canceling headphones on, and we start watching Poor Things, and you know it starts off innocent enough. It's kind of like a Frankenstein-esque tale. It's very stylized. Cinematography is great. Like the costume design is great. It is an interesting
production design. I believe it won an Oscar for production design.
There you go. It's kind of avant-garde. And a little pretentious in the first 20 or so, 30 or so minutes. We haven't finished the movie yet. And here's why we haven't finished the movie yet, Travis. And I warned you last night, don't watch it in front of your kids. and here's why. Because the movie essentially...
the sophistication of... The subtlety.
It's just too much.
And
for
it's just, it's, you need a more refined, esoteric sort of
cinematic palette. If you don't have your cinematic palette, then you're not going to appreciate it. And it's just going to blow your mind. And young, fragile minds should not be blown so hard. But talking about blowing. So the thing about that movie is it rapidly goes into, so the very basic plot is, again, it's kind of a Frankenstein thing. So Willem Dafoe is a Frankenstein, a Dr. Frankenstein-esque person, has revived the body of this woman. And she goes on this journey, adventure of discovery of herself and her worth, and she grows and she learns. But part of this journey is her fucking a lot and having lots of sex and masturbation and like scenes that are very uncomfortable to have your son Baxter on the couch.
with his noise canceling headphones.
Because it ends up being very graphic, and it happens often. Like I'm not trying to say I'm a prude, but it happens very, very often where I'm like, this is my critique so far, halfway through the movie, is the point that they're trying to make could have happened as well without nearly as much sex Mark Ruffalo and Emma Stone banging. And so, you know, like artistically, yeah, it's great. It looks great. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, like, I get it.
All right, I get it. They boned a lot.
They boned a lot. And I saw some discourse talking about some people are like, well, you missed the point of the movie. And other people are like, no, I got the point of the movie. I just didn't need all of that extra stuff, right? It's kind of like the thoughts of like show, don't tell, you know, like it's just like, I don't know. It beats you over the head over it eventually. We're like, okay, I've still got 40 minutes of this movie. All right, let's advance the plot. And actually, Chelsea at one point in time said like, how much longer is this movie? Because it seems like more of the same. And we looked at the time and we were like a third of the way through, right? So anyway, go enjoy it.
I haven't watched it. which would have been interesting because like I'm glad I didn't like download it for the plane ride. Because that would have been unfortunate. I would have been that guy.
They would have tapped you on the shoulder and said, sir, there's a 6-year-old behind
sir, you. And then they point to a sign and then it just says no watching poor things on the aircraft.
And the light up LED sign is just a man on top of a woman, just like
bing boom. Yep. Anyway, Poor Things available streaming on Hulu.
That's right.
Maestro, I think, is still on Netflix. I'm very interested in Something Zone.
Oh yeah, Zone of Interest.
Zone of Interest. I'm very interested in the Zone of Interest. All that I've seen of it was basically the clips that they showed during the Academy Awards. But visually it looked really interesting, and plot wise, I'm sure it's fantastic. So that is one of the movies I'm interested in checking out. And then what else have I missed? Because I do keep a list of them. Where are they? 2024 Best Picture Nods. Zone of Interest. And
did Maestro win anything?
I don't recall it winning anything. I don't.
It was
the honorable mention of. Don't fact check. No fact check. I'd love to go fact check this right now.
No fact checking. Because I saw some other discourse about Bradley Cooper where people are like, it's probably because he tried so hard. He's like,
I mean, it could have been.
He tried so, but then
American Fiction is another movie that I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah.
I feel awful because I'm awful with actors' names, but the lead actor in that movie who was in Westworld.
Yeah.
I've really liked that actor.
I know his character in Westworld more than I remember his name. Bernard, yeah. he was also in The Batman as Commissioner Gordon.
And then he's like the Watcher or whatever in What If. He's great. He's great.
He's great. We love him.
I just don't know his name. And we can't fact check it. We're not fact checking. This is no fact check episode. Adventures in Fact Checking. That's the episode title. So eventually I got to Oklahoma. I came back. We ate Hawaiian food in Oklahoma, which is delicious. And then I went back to work.
One of the things I wanted to talk about, Travis, is not last thing. I have two more things. One of two.
More things.
The first thing is yesterday And by yesterday, I mean Sunday, which was 2 days ago. But if you listen to this, it's on Wednesday because I'm going to edit it tonight. Is Mario Day was this Sunday, March 10th.
Yeah, March 10th.
Every
year it's on March 10th.
That's right.
My ring light is falling down.
It was we did a Mario Day over at Chelsea's family's house. And
you like did an actual Mario Day celebration?
We sure did. Yeah, we set the Switch up. We played some Mario Party. We played Mario Kart. Chelsea and her sister played Mario Super Mario 3. And Chelsea said, "Please don't divorce me because I suck at Super Mario Brothers." And I said, "I don't watch." That's how we stay together. And it was fun. And like we had decorations up. We had food themed Mario food themes. Like they got these chocolate. They look like mushrooms. Like they're like little like bread, and then like little. Chocolate at the tip that looks like mushroom, and then they ground up some like Oreos, and then they put the mushrooms in there, right? So that was good. I made stuffed mushrooms two different ways. I made stuffed mushrooms with green chili and an imitation crab and lobster. That was a Yoshi themed mushroom, super mushroom,
okay,
right? Because it's green. Because of green chili, right? Obviously. And then I made a burrito-themed stuffed mushroom, which was the chicken, the ground chicken, and
you didn't use eggs?
No, I didn't. I didn't use egg because I'm like stuffed egg mushrooms. Ew.
Yeah, that sounds gross, actually.
But because chicken is a bird, burdo. Okay,
burdo. Yeah,
did like that.
Shoots eggs out of her face.
Some star-shaped sandwiches. It was a whole thing. It was.
That sounds awesome. That sounds like a great memory. You should have journaled it.
I'm doing it right now on Apathetic Enthusiasm.
That's true. We're nailing it. We're nailing it.
So that's the first thing. It was fun. You know, like doing that. And I 3D printed a bunch of stuff using my new printer, using the AMS, the multicolor, thing. So like some flat images of bob-ombs, and then some booze, really cool. And then also printed out some question mark blocks that nice. I folded up and put those out there. Really awesome. Love as it. Well, so it was nice. It was, you know, like I had more, and Chelsea agrees, we should do this instead of Easter every year, you know, because the bunny, I mean, the bunny's kind of creepy, but Mario, I can play a Mario game.
Yeah. You and I celebrate Easter for different reasons.
fair.
I want you to know, seeing as you brought up 3D printing, you did it, not me.
Ding.
If you have your Apathetic Enthusiasm bingo card, feel free to check off that 3D printing space. I designed in Fusion 360 one of the machines that we work on at work has these switches, right? They're switches that are on the front of the machine that are power switches. And when these machines were engineered, they put power switches on the front, and if you accidentally brush by this power switch and it catches on a piece of clothing or something like that, it will shut down the entire system inadvertently. And it's awful. Like we've had like systems go down and we've had to repair them and things like that. So we're like, why are these switches out in the front? So I designed in Fusion 360 a little switch cover that you can just like put over the switch. You can still access it, but it's just like a little shield that keeps people from inadvertently turning off the switch. And I printed like one or two of them, and I'm like, yeah, these will work great. Took it in. It like covers the switch perfectly. But I'm like, all right, now I need like a whole bunch of these switches. I have to make like a double digit number of these covers. And on my Ender 3 printer, like that's probably going to take a while. I can either duplicate a bunch of them like in my what you call it, in my slicer and print multiples at a time, but that's still going to take a while. If I had a printer that was fast like Brandon's, I could print these so much faster. And then I remembered one of my coworkers bought a printer like yours. They actually bought the one that's better than yours. Yeah. Not throwing shade.
No.
But they...
No shade intended.
But I ran into them today. I was like, hey, listen. If I throw an STL file at you, you think you could print me like X number of these things? He's like, yeah, shoot me the thing. Let me know. So I sent him the file over Discord and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll print those tonight. No problem. I was like, fast printing. I am now outsourcing my 3D printing.
That's good. That's good. That's good. I mean, since you brought up 3D printing after I brought it up.
Yeah.
I've since moved. Chelsea had a good idea for my
office. Don't fact check that.
Chelsea had a good idea for my office. So I have a bookshelf in here that's just kind of just taking up space. And it's just,
as bookshelves do.
I can barely reach it anyways because it's behind my drum set, but it's just like there isn't really any purpose. So I was like, okay, well, what could I do? I should put some shelves in here. And I thought, oh, shelves. I wonder if there's any files out there, STLs for 3D printing shelves. So I've been printing a bunch of corner shelves.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do this.
If I tried to print one of those, it would take like a week.
Yeah. One of these takes about 4 hours. So it's really cool. So it's like, they're two different parts.
You guys are watching live me making the bad financial decision to buy another 3D printer.
Very, very, very good quality. You know, you put the screws in there for our audio listeners. I'm pointing at where the screw holes were. And then you slide it into, you slide it in here and then you put it into the wall. So I have another one on the printer right now. And I'm just gonna, I'm like, but I thought about this, like if I go to Lowe's and I get like a corner shelf, it's going to cost me like 20, 30 bucks. And I'm like, I printed up maybe four of these off of one spool and I still have some plastic left. So I'm like, I just saved a bunch of money by switching to 3D printing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Practical uses.
All right. I am going to buy one of those printers. That is going to happen. The decision has been made.
Well, you know,
and then I'm going to print full-scale Star Wars droids. So I'm not going to build corner shelves. I'm going to print battle droids that are 6 feet tall.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm printing out this one, you know which one it is. But for the people listening, it's this five-story like tavern with a, and like four stories with a dungeon. And I'm like, I'm printing it out and I finished the dungeon. I finished the first floor and I'm like, why am I printing out the rest of this? And now it's like, now it's just like just to say I did it.
The funny thing about that is I printed the companion piece to that, which is like the small silent coin tavern. Mm-hmm. And I printed out the whole first floor and then just stopped. I didn't print the second story. I have not printed any of the roof pieces, nor have I primed or painted any of it. I just, like, on a whim was like, I'm going to print out the whole first floor of this miniature tavern. And then it sits on that shelf.
And you did it and you're like, well, I guess I could do the happened. Rest of it.
Still don't play any in-person D&D though.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I am with this five-story thing. When it was like, you know, if I'm going
to wait to see you paint the entire thing.
If I'm going to print it all out, if I'm going to print out a bunch of stuff, like I finally got to the point, and we've talked about it before. I finally got to the point where, okay, cool. Like it can do creative stuff. That's great. But now I know the quality is there. I know it's not going to mess up on me. I guess I can start doing some practical stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah. Practical printing, it changes the game. Like it really does. I was to go back to the adventures in RVing. I'm sitting in there and I'm like, oh, like my mom was talking about, oh, maybe if I got some command hooks, I could put a couple things here. And then like I could drape like a curtain and it would kind of extend the space of this room. And I was like, or you could 3D print something that fit into there. And then, you could like add little things to like organize the shelf mm-hmm. so that it maximizes the utility of it. And then, oh yeah, you could make a little clip. You could put this on the back here. And I'm just like, yeah, access to a 3D printer really gives you a lot of options. Access to a 3D printer and a workable knowledge of 3D modeling software.
Yeah.
The world is your oyster at that point.
It really
is. To be able to do legitimate plastic manufacturing in your car hold, like that's the future.
My nephew is incredibly intelligent. All my nephews and my nieces are all incredibly intelligent. But my nephew Connor, he does 3D printing, and he has a fascination with air sirens. He has designed 3D printed and designed air sirens that are workable. And I'm like, now that I have a machine that doesn't suck, I might try that out. Now we just talked about practical uses. There's not really any practical use for an air siren, but still got to test it out.
Home defense.
Yeah. We got a thief.
yeah, absolutely. Nailed it. Cool. Okay. So we talked about 3D printing.
Yes.
Talked about the tavern. Yeah. Were there any other topics? You had a couple things you were going to talk about. Practical printing. Drinking.
I think I might have gotten through them. But here's what I want to say, Travis. It's our weekly, and I think we skipped it last week. It's our weekly coworker shout out.
Coworker shout outs. Hey, coworkers.
Hey, coworkers. If you've made it this far, then you know that we're going to talk about you. Right. Mike, not talking about you, because your place didn't offer me a job. So you're on the banned list. Other than you, I want to shout out to Jeff, he listens to the show sometimes. And then he listens to me talk shit about Mike. That's cool. And then my boss, if he even listens, Hassan, if you actually listen to this, I'll know, because you'll probably send me a message tomorrow saying that I'm fired. But thank you so much for working with me in the meantime.
Thank you for the opportunity.
He was asking me earlier, like, what's the name of your podcast? I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Don't. This American Life.
with Lakmi Shmi over on NPR. But like, all right, let me just do it.
Wait, don't tell me. in my coworker shout out, I would just like to shout out all of the amazing people that I work with who helped me celebrate another milestone this week. Recognition for promotion. So
you got a promotion, huh?
Well, we'll see if I can hold on to it. there's nothing easier to lose than celebrating with a lot of amazing coworkers and really the individuals that took the time that were not, in the office that sent me messages or checked in on me to see how the results were going and things like that. I work with a lot of really cool people that really look out for each other. So, none of them listen to this podcast. A couple of them do. And if you're one of them, thank you for being awesome.
Thank you for being awesome. I want to
come see me at work and say the word nematode so that I know you listen to this.
Same goes for anybody that I know. What I want to say, I had a fun little experience this last week. taking a page from Scrum and the Agile
playbook, ayahuasca. What
the playbook, like having a retro, you know, like having weekly kind of routines. What do you call them?
Events,
ceremonies. So this last week, you know, have a retro every week, and we just talk about our yeah, mez or bah, and the event turned into I was calling somebody out because they were late, right? I was like, I was in the middle of saying like, oh, something nice about the team, like I love, you know, like communication's happening. And even though like we don't always agree on everything, like we're still working, we're making progress on stuff. And somebody showed up late, and so I was like, "Hey, thanks for joining us. Since you're coming in at the tail end of this, you know, why don't you say something nice about the team?" And he said something genuine and very, very nice. I was like, "Oh shoot!" And so I was like, then I felt bad that I was like calling him out. So I was like, so then I pushed it off to everybody else on the team, like somebody. I was like, "Hey, JJ, what do you think?" And he's like, "Oh," blah, blah. And it was very like sincere, and it got through everybody. I made sure everyone did it. And then at the very end, I was like, "Sorry, everyone. I know that was super saccharine and like super super sweet and probably cringy." And they were all like, "No, that's really good. We always talk about negative stuff all the time. It's everything's always like." We always talk about the negative, and it's not all the time that we get to talk about the positive stuff that we're doing. So this is actually a really good meeting. Like, oh,
oh,
that,
yay.
That was my intent. Yeah, it's definitely.
Yep,
my.
Yep. As I had planned from the get go, I'm glad you fell right into my trap. Mwahaha.
But I was thinking, you know, as I saw how people interacted with you for your recognition, some of the videos that people sent to you before they knew that you were getting recognized. And, you know, like take a step back. I saw a TikTok video or a reel or whatever, where it's talking about like millennial managers, right? And it's and be like, oh, we care. Oh, no, it's fine. Like work-life balance and stuff like that. And it's kind of making fun of them, but I'm like, there's no shame in that. There's like, that's what's happening. It's weird to see that like people appreciate that. Like my team appreciates it, and I really appreciate them. Your team really appreciates it. Like, it's strange from when we were growing up in our roles where it didn't feel vulnerable. It didn't feel like people wanted to share that stuff. It was like, it was more about being like, oh,
yeah.
Suck it up. Don't ask questions, you piece of shit. So anyways, it's interesting, and it's hopeful. It's hopeful to see. And yeah. I hope that that continues to happen in industries all across the globe.
Yeah, no, it's great. More millennial managers. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. I care about your feelings. And I do.
All right. We love feelings. And I care about your feelings, Brandon. Love you. Thank you for doing this podcast with me and supporting me in all of my endeavors and all of my adventures. Don't fact check that. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you're new here, if you're just checking this out for the first time, be sure to subscribe, rate, review, do all of those things. If you're on YouTube, hit that like button, hit subscribe. We do new episodes just about every week, whether that's Apathetic Enthusiasm or Interdimensional RSS, our Rick and Morty podcast. But yes, as promised, we are going to go and do a Patreon-only post show where we are going to play a game of connections. That is going to happen. So if you want to check that out, the March 12th connections puzzle, then head over to the Patreon. And until next time, I'm Travis.
I'm Brandon, and I have no idea what's happening.
Don't fact check it. Bye.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.